Hey, this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to actually talk through all week long. We've been talking about the good news of who God is, the good news in the gospel and what Jesus did for us on the cross, and ideally what that does to our life, how it should change every aspect of our life. You see, as we die to ourselves, as we live for Him, our life is no longer about us but about Him. And this morning, what we want to do is try to give ourselves a broader understanding of what God is doing all around this world. So we're going to jump right into it. We'll watch a quick little video in a minute, and then Rachel's going to kind of wrap some things up here. But it's our missions focus. And what I mean by that is we got to understand that God is on the move more than just in our own backyards. God is doing things all around us. And what would it look like to be a part of some of those things? Matthew chapter 28 says this: all authority in heaven, this is Jesus saying it, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This idea of going and making disciples is just a really, it's a crazy idea if you think about it, that God allows us to go and tell people about Him. And that might not shock you a lot, but if you start to think about that, that's pretty overwhelming. You see, He could have did a lot of things to get His name known, which He does. We see about it in Romans chapter 1 as it talks about the glory of everything that He has made, basically calls out who God is. That no one's without excuse now. No one can make an excuse that they don't know who God is, because they could just look outside, see that sunrise and say, man, we got to have a creator. See, God uses nature and things to glorify Himself, but He uses us as His mouthpiece, as His ambassadors to tell people about Him. What do? We use our gifts that He has given us. We use the talents that He has given us to tell people about Him. It's a cool thing. I love this passage of scriptures. It says, go and make disciples. A lot of times, maybe we don't know what that actually looks like. Well, it's very simple. We make His disciples, not ours. You see, as you get plugged into a church, as you're on your soccer team or whatever it is, you're not pointing people back to you. You're pointing people back to Him. What does that mean? It means there might have to be some conviction in your life, as you might maybe walking or living life really not the way God wants you to live. As you're making disciples, you're pointing people to Jesus and not to yourself. Well, a couple of amazing things happen when we start making disciples. One, it's accountability for ourselves. I don't know how many people out there love to be hypocritical, but as you start to tell people, look, you need to have a relationship with God. Well, what does that look like? Well, you need to get to know Him. You need to set time aside for Him. You need to read your Bible. You need to actually get time alone with God. Okay, well, are you doing that? It's a cool thing as you're starting to make disciples. You become more of a disciple of Jesus. There's conviction that happens. Number two, you actually get to be a part of one of the coolest joys that will literally make your joy in your life just come, making it complete, that Paul talks about, is you get to share the good news of Jesus with other people. It's an amazing thing. If you've never experienced it, God allows you to be a part of that. And that final thing that I love is, one, you get convicted as you make disciples. Two, you get to be a part of it, and what a joy that happens. And three, the best part about it, they get to learn about Jesus. And so as we talk about what it looks like to make disciples and why we should make disciples, because the reality is you got an opportunity to sit in this room and hear the gospel, and hopefully it changed your life. I saw ton of people walk down this aisle and stand here because they said, I need Jesus. And hopefully it's changed your life. Some of you sitting in the seat, you've already made that choice. So hopefully it's changed your life. Wouldn't we want that for other people? To give that hope that we actually hold on to. Well, should we be doing that in our own towns? Absolutely. Can you do that in your backyard? Yes, you should be, and so should I. But you see, God is moving all over this world, and what we want to do this morning is expose you to what God is doing overseas and maybe motivate some of you to get going and do something for God. A guy, Phil Payne, he is a dear friend of mine. I've known him, I want to probably say about 10 years now. And he has just been my guy when it comes to anything international. I met him years ago, and he just has a heart for missions work. He was a youth pastor here in California, and he just felt God just pulling him away. So he went down to Ecuador. And he always would tell me, he's like, you think I'm... he's like, it's so frustrating. People are like, well, I'm not made to be a missionary, man. I really like air conditioning. He's like, so do I. I don't like love being away from comforts. I would love to be here. I just feel that we're called to go. And he's like, I feel everybody is called to go and make disciples. And he's like, look, you could serve here and you should be serving in your local church, in your own backyard. But what would it look like to give 1 year of your life overseas? Not that we have to, but he said something amazing happens when we do that. You see, we're out of our comfort zone. All of our friends group, we're not relying on them. We're not relying on our mom and dad or our youth pastor, who we're relying on when we go overseas and don't really know anyone, and it's hard and it's uncomfortable. We start to look at Jesus a whole lot more. And so what would it look like to give your life over to overseas for 1 year, serving God faithfully over there? Our team had an opportunity to meet up with Phil. Phil not only is our international director here now for Hume, he does a lot of offsite camps along with Austin, our rec guy here. They do a lot of stuff internationally through Hume, but they actually have another thing going on down in Ecuador called Youth World. And we wanted to partner with them this year as we go down and just see what God is doing down in Ecuador. So we got a little video of Rachel and some of the Hume team going. We'll talk through some of that, and we're going to end up closing it out as we pray for Ecuador. Enjoy the video.
Behind me is the city of Quito, Ecuador. And this summer, we have traveled all the way from California with all the camp directors to dive in and understand more of what God's doing through the Ministry of Youth World.
It's a key city in this region and in South America as well because of its easy access from the Americas and other regions. And Youth World is an organization that has based here in Quito because of the potential outreach to the culture of South America and especially here in Ecuador.
Youth World exists to identify, train, and empower young people and families to be disciples of Jesus Christ and to raise up leaders.
In 1 week, we have gone everywhere from the city all the way down to the jungles of Ecuador to see how God is on the move. One of the main parts of this ministry that I love is their focus on discipleship, that they want to identify, equip, and train and develop key leaders in this community that will go out and impact this country for Christ.
You know, whether it's Jungle Kids in Misoyi, whether it's La Roca, any of those places, Calacali, the camp that we have out at El Refugio. We bought that place in 1999 and there was nothing there. It was weeds. We were ripping out stumps. We were trying to, and this weekend it's going to be, hosting close to 2,000 people for this mud run. You see kids that come to one of our camps and then you run into them in Parque Carolina and they're there street witnessing, and it's like, man, I was challenged by this at the camp in El Refugio, but it takes time to get there. It is that process and allowing ourselves the time to do that. A lot of times we want to see the fruit right away and that's not always going to happen. But I think people who come in and have a heart to serve well and are willing to stay and put the time in, you'll see disciples made and you'll see leaders raised up and you'll see people empowered to go out. And that's really what we're after.
Here in the jungle, adultery, alcoholism, and abandonness, I will say, are the three main things that happen here with adults. That's why we see a lot of kids who are fatherless. So our hope is really working with the kids.
God, it's our dad, and he's a powerful person.
You know, so many of these kids don't have fathers. They don't have great family structures. They don't have the hope that so many of us have grown up in and have lived in. And so they need people to come and model that, to show that, and to pour into their lives.
I know that God's always with me. Whatever we are, he loves us because he created us.
As you open yourself up to hear the story and it impacts your life, that draws you to service and to ministry. And so I think a big one is just opening our ears and our hearts to really listen to the stories that are behind every set of eyes we come across.
Cuando tuve mi primera patineta, no quería dejar de patinar en ningún momento del día. En la universidad me junté con personas que no tenía que hacerlo. Empecé a beber y fumar cigarrillos. Luego de eso vi que no estaba viviendo muy bien y decidí regresar a La Roca porque sé que me iban a apoyar. Luego de eso me dijeron que si pasaba tranquilo y confiaba en Dios iba a encontrar muchas soluciones para mi vida. Y creo que fue la verdad, tomé muy en serio sus palabras y para mí es la única persona en quien puedo confiar de corazón y sé que puedo poner todas mis cargas.
You know, we think about missionaries, we talk about missionaries, but I want to challenge you to practice the habits now of being a missionary, to proclaim the gospel in an ungodly culture. Think about getting involved in your church, getting involved in your youth ministry. Look around your neighborhood, your family, your school. How is God calling you to proclaim the gospel?
God brings these young men to our lives, and we're going to do everything we can to invest into them for the time that we have them.
We can see the vision in 10 years from now, how that looks like. We don't want to miss it.
It's when you choose to invest into people. It's when you choose to walk with people through life, and through hard things, through easy things, to celebrate with them.
It's scary, yes, but we have to stay faithful. God has been faithful to us in every step that we've taken.
We looked at the long term from the beginning. We knew that to do something that would be impactful will take years. Will take a whole, about 20 years to do something that will be really meaningful.
Well, not just to help them, you know, get off the streets, but to give them that gospel message and to disciple them, and they would be go back and be leaders in their homes, in their school, in their workplace.
The truth of Jesus Christ, when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father except through me. And then God calls you and God calls me to be his ambassadors, to share the gospel with those around us. Practice those habits of missions now. Practice them right now when you're in high school, as a freshman, a sophomore, a junior, a senior. Practice those habits of prayer, of Bible study, of asking God to open your eyes and your heart, to open your hands and to move your feet, to give you opportunities to be a missionary right now where you're at.
So what does this mean for you? My hope is that you will start to look in your own heart and to say, does my heart break? Does my heart break for those that don't know Jesus? And that's your number one starting point. Because I would question where your heart is with the Lord if your heart doesn't break for those that don't know him.
There are people in your community, in your neighborhood, that you don't have a clue that may be going through hard situations just like some of these boys. Their story may be different, and it's not Colombia, it's not Ecuador. But what they're going through is just as real and just as hard.
Maybe for some of you, God will call you to move to Ecuador, or maybe to some other crazy country, or maybe God is calling you right now to look at the people around you and to start investing into the people that are right before you.
It's not that we kind of just jumped in here and decided to do something and it all came. You know, it's been all little steps.
I think so many times we look at missionaries and we even hear the word missionary and we think, I've got to be some superhuman person, I've got to have some superhuman faith, or I've got to have this crazy calling where the sky opens up and it's like, go to this country. But I don't think that's how it is.
I think it is this starts with this heart saying, God, I want to be faithful with the gifts and the talents that you've given me.
And so it's because we started with a little step. We were like, okay, well, let's try missions once. And so we went on the missions trip once, and then that changed our hearts. And we were like, okay, this is what we need to be doing for the rest of our lives. So then we took another step. We committed for another year, and then we committed for another year.
At every ministry site that we've been to, we've asked them the question, what are the needs of your ministry? How can we come alongside of you? How can we support you as a ministry of Hume Light Christian Camps? And the crazy thing is that every single one of them has started out by saying, pray for us.
Be praying for the people of Ecuador. Be praying for Youth World. Be praying. And again, it's not just our ministry, but around the world of what God's doing. Never feel like you're too young or too small to be able to make a difference. But I think one of the big powerful things that we have is prayer and being able to be praying towards what God would have.
I'm going to ask you to please pray for my life, for my ministry, for my marriage, for my country as well.
You know, I think of some of the ladies in my church that are, you know, old ladies in their 80s that they literally are on their knees most of the day. And I know that they have impact globally because they're praying for missionaries and sending them out. And so I think the same time for a young kid who would come and say, hey, what can I do? Man, be praying for missions. Be praying for these ministries that you hear about. But also if God's saying, man, go do something, then reach around to the people around you that can help you make that happen.
Question is, will you do something about it, or will you just keep hearing? This spring, I've been in a book study with a couple of my friends, and we've been studying in the book of James that we wouldn't just be hearers of the word, but that we would be doers of the word. And I think that that's really challenged me. That I won't just sit here and come and listen. And if you were in the girls' seminar, I know, guys, you weren't there. But I talk about this fact that we can stand in awe of the cross without ever picking up our own. That we can stand and worship God and throw our hands in the air and applaud who he is without actually living out anything that God tells us to do. Will we be not just hearers, but actual doers of what God's called us to do and who he's called us to be? And that's the challenge in each of our lives. When I was over in Ecuador, we got a chance to go down into the jungle like you saw. And we met up with this couple that was in the jungle, and they had started an orphanage, well, kind of like a home. And then that home became a school. As they started to take in all of these lost jungle kids with broken, broken homes and broken backgrounds and just loving on these kids and seeing that they needed an education, they started teaching these kids. And then other kids in the community and other families in the community started realizing that these jungle kids, that they know English and they know, you know, they're just being educated. And so they started saying, can you teach my kid? Can you teach my kid? And they're like, well, we're not actually like licensed teachers. You know, we just felt that God wanted us to move into the jungle and to be a light in this place. And they're like, but our kids need education just like your kids. So will you teach our kids? And so they started bringing in other resources and reaching out. And every year they add a different class. So right now they're at sixth grade. Next year they'll add seventh grade. Next year they'll add eighth grade. And they've just continuously added grades and just in faith, believing that people will come and teach and guide and the school will continue to grow. And I remember looking at them and saying, what was that key moment for you when you decided to leave the U.S., to move to Ecuador, and then to not just move from Quito, from the city, but into the jungle? What was that? Why did you do that? And it was interesting. They led us to a passage in Matthew, where Jesus was teaching and the disciples went out in the boat ahead of them. And it says, he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him. This is Jesus, to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land,
beaten by the waves, so the wind was against them. In the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on water and came to Jesus. And when he saw the wind and waves, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out his hand. They looked at me and they said, "I see a lot of like Peter and the other disciples in the boat. And they're out there and they're pushed out to sea and Jesus is walking on water. Now, were the other disciples not faithful because they didn't jump out of the boat and walk on the water as well? No. They just simply remained in the boat. But we looked at this life that we have before us and we recognize that our days are numbered and our time on this earth is short. So we said, in this instance, and on this day, let's get out of the boat. Let's get out of the boat. And it may be scary. It may be fearful. It may be weird things that we have no idea, the wind or the waves or whatever is going to come against us. But let's step out of the boat, believing that God will use our lives as we step out of the boat. And I was like, man, that's so profound. Because I think that the majority of us will stay in the boat. They will want to follow the status quo, that we will want to do what everyone else is doing, that we won't want to step out in fear of rejection, in fear of whatever that may be, or that we're just plain lazy. But there are some of you in this room that I believe that God has grabbed a hold of their heart and is saying, "Will you step out of the boat and expect that I will move in amazing ways in and through you?" Peter got experience walking on water. And no one else got to do that. And yes, there is a fear and there is a loneliness in stepping out of that boat. But you will experience more of who God is when you say, "God, I'm coming after you. My eyes are on you and not on the crowd." Is that your heart? I looked at all the different people that I got to meet over there and all the different facets of their ministry, from the skate ministry to the street ministry to the jungle, all these people. And one of the things that really struck with me, you know, I feel like I have a very unique job. I have a very unique perspective. Because every week for 10 weeks, a different crew of students come up here to this mountain. And I watch you grow as worshipers through song, through reading your word, through hearing God's word throughout the week. I watch you grow. I see people stand up and say, "God, I need the Lord. I need him. I need you." I see it. Every week, God moves. And so I think that my perspective is so skewed sometimes. Because I started going to these ministries and saying, "How are you seeing God move? How are you seeing tangibly people going from darkness to light and standing and saying, 'I want Jesus, I want Jesus, I want him.'" And several of them looked at me and said, "Well, you know, it's a little bit different. It's a process. It's relationships. It's messy. It's not always this one moment of standing. It's not just this one commitment. But there's a lot of brokenness in a lot of these students' lives." The principal of that school said, "I'm not sure we'll fully see the impact of the gospel in these students' lives for the next 20 years. In 20 years, I believe that these 7-year-olds and these 8-year-olds will be different fathers than their fathers. That they will love their families and their kids in a different way. They'll have integrity in the workplace. They won't become alcoholics. That they will trust in God. And that this community will look different in 20 years." And it just struck me with the faith to be able to serve and to be able to love and to be able to pour into people's life, not just for a week. Not just to come in and stand up on our soapbox and to say, this is the truth, everybody follow it. And then they go back into their lives and you go back into yours. But these people are living life and doing life in the beauty and in the brokenness. And it is so intermixed in there. And they're saying, I am committed. I'm committed to showing you who Jesus is. And I'm out of the boat. And many times I'm very alone. And so when I said, what can Ponderosa, what can 10,000 plus people in the summer of 2016 do for you that will impact this ministry? And I'm thinking, what monetary thing, what thing can we go out and be a part of and do? And every single one of them looked at me and said, pray. You can pray for us. And they didn't take that lightly. They said, carry a burden for the people of Ecuador that they so desperately need Jesus. And pray that we don't grow weary in serving and in being Jesus to them. The guy that was in the boys' home told us story after story of each of the guys that were coming into that home. And as they would come in and shake his hand and talk, and then he would leave, he would tell us this kid's story, and he would tell us this kid's story. And the amount of brokenness that is in that one home, but how the light of Jesus is piercing through that slowly. But there's a commitment. This whole theme, proclaiming God's truth in an ungodly culture. It's not about us going home and putting one status on our Facebook. It's not about us going to people in our classrooms and in our neighborhoods and one time just saying, hey, you're getting it wrong. Jesus is the way. It's about relationships. It's about walking life with people and being faithful. Being faithful in people's life. Even when they don't give you the answer that you always want to hear. There's some of you in this room that still don't trust God, that believe that the world is better than what God has to offer. And there are men and women in here as your counselors and youth pastors that are going to walk that road with you. And just like Jesus, are going to allow you to go your own way. Because God didn't create you to be a robot. And they'll love you in the brokenness and the hurt and the ugliness as much as they'll love you in the beauty. Will you do that to other people? Those of you that have committed your life to Jesus and want to shine for him in this world. Will you love people just as much in their brokenness as in their victory? And be willing to walk the road with them, even if it is years and years and years? Or will you give up out of frustration? Because I am so thankful that I serve a God that does not give up on me. One of the things that we love to end this time with is that we love to pray for the country that we're highlighting for this year. Even though Rich and I say it, it's not about Ecuador. It's not about South Africa. It's not about Haiti. It's not about any one location. We could go anywhere around the world. God is on the move all over this world. We simply want to challenge you that God is doing stuff not just in your own backyard, but all over this world. And then he's called us to be a part of what he's doing. And our hearts should break for what breaks his. So just as much as it should break for the people that live right next to us that do not know the Lord, it should break for those people all the way around the world that don't know him as well. And so this morning, 1,000 strong, we're going to pray and lift up the people of Ecuador. I'm going to invite Austin Payne to come out and join us to lead us in a time of prayer. But as he's doing that, I want to encourage you guys to find two or three people. And if you want to come in the aisles, if you want to go around the outside edge, turn around, wherever that is. But you got about 30 seconds to kind of find a small group, and we're going to circle up and pray together.